Let me ask you this question. You've run into somebody, a friend you hadn't seen for a long time, and you're so glad to see your friend, and you say to your friend, "Hey, what's new?" You really want to know what's been going on, what's happening in your life, because you're interested in that friend. I'm going to ask you a question today. It's the question we're going to answer this morning. It's this: what's new in your spiritual life? What is God doing in your spiritual life that's fresh and real, personal, transformative? What's new? We're in a series entitled Experiencing the Holy Spirit. And we together last time when we opened the scriptures learned about being born in the Spirit. And I preached on the sermon, "Happy Birthday, Born in the Spirit." And remember this, that every one of us, if we're going to have eternal life, must have a spiritual birthday. Jesus called it being born of the Spirit, being born again. And my friend, if you have not yet put your trust in Jesus Christ, knowing the penalty of your sin and the judgment to come, and now submitting your will to Him and by faith trusting Him alone to save you, oh, you need Him so that He can then do a supernatural work of giving you new life, being born in the Spirit. And today, we'll continue this series, and I'm going to preach to you today about this. What's new? The work of the Spirit. So take your Bible and turn with me to the book of John, chapter 13. John, chapter 13. The Lord is with the 12 in the upper room. It's their last time together. And so having had this time together, He talks with them for the last time before He's to be crucified. The betrayer leaves. He's with the men in the room. And He would later that evening and into the morning be betrayed, arrested. Within the next 12 hours, Jesus would be tried, condemned, crucified, and buried. And for these disciples, He knew things were about to change. They didn't realize how much things were going to change, but He knew things were about to change. And so God was doing great things, even though things were going to change, and Jesus prepared His disciples for what was new. I'm going to have you, since you found John chapter 13, stand with me, please. I'm going to read a number of scriptures. We'll begin with verse 33. John chapter 13, verse 33, Jesus says to these, His dear disciples, "Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you." Now you can imagine the shock. "Lord, you're going somewhere and we can't go with you?" So verse 36, Simon Peter said unto Him, "Lord, whither goest thou?" Jesus answered him, "Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards." You can imagine the questions. Wait, you're leaving, but there's a time when we get to follow? Lord, I'm not sure about this. Very disturbing. And so He says to them, verse 1 of chapter 14, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, ye may be also." Then notice what Jesus says, beginning in verse 10. "Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father which dwelleth in me, He doth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. And then look at verse 16. Jesus continues, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth in you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come unto you. See, the question of the morning is, what's new? And today we're going to answer the question as Jesus did. What is new is the work of the Holy Spirit. And today I'm going to talk to you about what happens when God the Holy Spirit works. So let's pray and ask him to do so. So God the Holy Spirit, we come to you because Jesus said that you would come and he sent you. And you are working in the world, and we ask for Christ's sake and for the glory of God the Father that you would do your work in us today. I pray that you would do that supernatural work that cannot be explained humanly, but is something that is a work that you do, and we wait upon you. And as a preacher, I yield to you, because unless you empower me, I'm just talking. And unless you empower all of us as hearers, and you very specifically work in individuals' lives and individuals' ways, we'll come and we'll go, and we won't be any different. There won't be a fresh and new experience of you. And what a shame that would be, because you're such a great God. And so we ask, O God, for your power to wonderfully and personally work in us. For we yield to you for it, asking it all in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. Now, I know you can appreciate the faith and the challenge of the faith of these disciples. They had forsaken all to follow Jesus. They had placed their hopes and their dreams in him. They had left their old lives behind, and they had so many things ahead that they thought were just going to be great. And then Jesus, what's he give them for it? What's his reward for those that have left everything and put their lives on hold to follow him? Well, he said, I'm going to leave. Verse 33. He says, where I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you. No wonder their hearts were troubled. And no wonder Jesus said to them in chapter 14, verse 1, let not your hearts be troubled. But Jesus explained that while he was going to leave them, he would not leave them alone. As God the Son, he said he would leave, but God the Spirit would come. And God was moving with God-ordained positive change. Now, how many of you can appreciate their struggle? Because God the Spirit moves and does wonderful, new, fresh things in our lives. God-ordained positive change. Now, how many of you know not all change is necessarily God-ordained or positive? Sure. But when God the Spirit moves and his moving is indeed God-ordained and positive change for all of us, we find it to be very challenging. Why is that so challenging? Well, sometimes it's because of the experiences of the past. Oh, what wonderful experiences these men had. They'd seen God in the flesh do things they'd never seen before. They had heard things they had never heard before. Their lives were now given to a new meaning and a new purpose. They'd even stood against their peers. They'd stood against the religious leaders of the day, for they found him who is life. Now he says he's bailing out on us? What about all the things we experienced? They had a hard time understanding. Though there are wonderful experiences of the past, sometimes God does new, wonderful, greater things. And you have to be willing to let go of the past sometimes. Maybe you found that to be hard. Maybe you found that in a challenge for your faith as well as those disciples of the first generation. And sometimes God ordained positive changes difficult because of the expectations of the future. Now, what were the disciples' expectation? Well, Jesus had come, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. They were expecting a literal, physical kingdom with Jesus ruling and reigning, and they, as his disciples, with them. He promised them that they would rule with him. And you know, just as he promised, they will one day rule with him, but they didn't understand that it wasn't going to happen right now. Their expectation was any minute, Jesus is going to set up his kingdom on the earth and get rid of those Romans, and Israel would be the centerpiece of the world, and he would rule, and they would be there right with him. In fact, they even had arguments about it. Who's going to be the greatest? Well, I'll be the greatest, and I'll be the... In fact, one of the times, James and John, their mom, you talk about a helicopter mom. Boy, she got in the middle of it. Well, my boys, which of my boys is going to be the greatest? I want them to have the best place. But now Jesus says, I'm leaving. And all of their expectations are crushed. How many of you know that sometimes we have expectations and we know what it is to have our expectations crushed? Sometimes they are expectations of our own making and they're not God's expectations. And when they don't happen the way we'd hoped and planned and thought, boy, it's a real challenge to our faith. So, what happens when God the Spirit works? Well, understand that God ordained change is difficult, but when God the Spirit is working, he always brings change. If you have not yet been born of the Spirit and born again, God the Spirit, see, is working in your life and he's drawing you to himself for you to realize that judgment is coming, I am condemned, Jesus is the only way, and God the Spirit lets you know it is true and he's confirmed in your spirit, but maybe you're afraid because that means life is going to change, and I'll tell you honestly, it's going to change. But oh, what wonderful things he has ahead for you. Born of the Spirit. And now, as a follower of Christ and those of us who know Christ, understand that God is doing new things. Don't be afraid. He wants to make changes in your life. And where those changes lead and what it is, that is for God to know, and it is what his will is for your life. But I'm telling you, do not be afraid when God leads you to God-ordained positive change. Because this is what happens when God the Spirit works. That's why I say to you, what's new? If you haven't had something new that God is doing in your life, bless your heart. You need to have your faith grown and your life transformed. Because when God the Spirit is working, he always brings positive God-ordained change. So what happens when God the Holy Spirit works? Well, God the Holy Spirit brings new possibilities. The work, and write this down, if you're taking notes, you're putting it into your iPad, the work of God the Spirit brings new possibilities. So Jesus says, John chapter 14, verse 12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. Now, you talk about great works. Jesus did great works. Healing, resurrections, casting out demons. Amazing. And Jesus said to his disciples that you will do greater works? How do you do greater than Jesus? John chapter 2, he comes to a wedding and they ran out of the juice. They ran out of grape juice. And what are we going to do? And Jesus turns water to wine. Whoa. He changed the molecular structure of H2O to Welch's. I don't know what Welch's is, but H2O to Welch's. More than that? Greater than that? The disciples are on the stormy sea. There's a great storm, and they think we're going to lose it. Life is over. And Jesus steps out. Peace be still, and calms the sea. Greater than that? People were with him and following him around. It's getting late. It's dinner time. Everybody's getting hungry. What are we going to do? The little boy brings 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and the disciples start to break it up. Jesus feeds from 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He feeds 5,000 men and women and children beside. Greater than that? You talk about a buffet. That's a buffet. An endless buffet. Hey, wait a minute. He goes to a funeral. And there's Lazarus. He's been dead for days. He brings him to life. How many of you have ever felt bad for Lazarus? It's an amazing miracle, but would you like to go to heaven and come back? Maybe you've had that experience. I don't know. Wow. You say, greater than that? Yes, greater than that. Well, how can it be greater than that? Well, I'll tell you that each of these wonderful acts that Jesus did, each was wonderful, each confirmed the messiahship and deity and divine power of Jesus, but each act was temporary. Hey, all those people he fed, 5,000 men, women, and children beside, another time 4,000, all those people, how many of you think they got hungry again? I mean, you had breakfast and you're hungry already, right? All the people he healed, wonderful. They still died. Lazarus, resurrected from the dead, back to life. But he still died. All those wonderful things that Jesus did were temporary and physical. You still need to have some grape juice at the wedding feast. Still going to be storms in the Sea of Galilee. But Jesus said, when the Spirit works, there are new possibilities, not of temporary impact, but with eternal impact. Not just meeting a temporary need. It's wonderful to meet a temporary need, but meeting an eternal need. Not just a temporary purpose so that when life's done, it's all done, it's over, but with an eternal purpose so I'm investing the days that I have in life on things that matter in eternity. And when God the Spirit works, he brings new possibilities into your life. Remember what the Apostle Paul tells us, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10, as God is working through his church, that all that he does so according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. So that everything God does has in some way an eternal dimension. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, 17, and 18, the Apostle Paul reminds us that even though the outward man perisheth, and how many of you know the outward man does perish? Some of us are further along in that process than others, and some days you might feel it more than others, but the outward man does perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. He talks about the affliction that's going on in verse 17. He calls it our light affliction. Not that it is meaningless or that it is not painful. No, in fact, it is an affliction. But he reminds us that even in the most painful of afflictions in this life, God is working an eternal weight of glory. He is doing something that has eternal value, even in the afflictions of this life. And then he says, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18, he informs us of this, that while we're living in this life, and we're living in time, we don't look for the temporal, we live for the eternal. And that is one of the most difficult things of life. I'm living in my life, and I live in a temporal time frame, but I realize that this life is very short, preparing for the eternal. You know, all that Jesus did, all those supernatural, wonderful things were temporal, and when they were done, they were done. But the investments he made in the lives that were changed were eternal. Do you know in this life that when you live in dependence on the Holy Spirit, you can expect that there are new possibilities, that your life can have a difference and make a difference in eternity. The work of the Holy Spirit brings new possibilities. Hey, what else is new? Well, the work of the Spirit brings new possibilities. Here's what else is new. The work of the Spirit brings new promise. You have your Bible turned to John chapter 14, verse 12. And beyond these new possibilities, Jesus describes the not just the possibility, but the promise of greater works. Again, verse 12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. Now, how is this promise fulfilled? I'm going to have you go in your Bible back to the book of John chapter 7. John chapter 7. And I want you to find verse 39. Because Jesus tells us this. But this spake he, John 7:39, of the Spirit which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. And then go back to the book of John chapter 16. And in this same upper room discourse where Jesus is talking with these disciples before he is taken away, verse 7, nevertheless, John chapter 16, verse 7, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Now, on what does this demonstration of God's greater works depend? Well, it's dependent on Jesus leaving, that is, as he ascends back to heaven, and then God the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, coming, descending from heaven to empower his church. These greater works were dependent on Jesus leaving and the work of the Holy Spirit as he came. So Jesus, after he speaks these words, is crucified. 3 days later, he's risen from the dead. 50 days after his crucifixion, there was a Jewish feast of Pentecost. And at that time, God sent the Holy Spirit. Jesus had since ascended. And the Spirit came in his power. And on that one day, that first day, the gospel of Christ is proclaimed, and 3,000 come to Christ. More in one day than there's ever a record of people responding to Christ in his time on earth. And that was the beginning. And now, and all these years later, how many more have been transformed by the Lord Jesus Christ? How many places around the world? And you, if you know Christ, and I am, as one who knows Christ, am a testimony of the incredible grace of God and the greater works that God did. You see, there are more converted on that first day than Jesus had directly seen converted. And you know, it still seems hard to believe, but there are three ways in which God's work in us are greater even today. One of those ways is that we have a greater message. Now, Jesus' works were physical, they were material, but our works are the spiritual. And our focus is the spiritual. Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, Jesus sent out the 70. They were on an evangelistic preaching tour, and they went out, and oh, what a time they had. In fact, Luke chapter 10, I'll read in my Bible, verse 17, that the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And oh, what a time they had. And God gave them in their time this supernatural power that was unique to confirm the reality of the message of Jesus Christ. And you picture them. They are high-fiving each other, and they're telling the stories, man, we were over here, and there was a demon-possessed guy, and we did this, and we did that. And I mean, they are excited. And Jesus said this to them, Luke chapter 10, verse 20. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. The greater miracle is that a sinner like me and like you, through the work of the sinless Son of God, crucified and risen again, now the Holy Spirit of God showing me the reality of my sin, bring me to a point where I trust Jesus Christ and my name, I'm forgiven, and God takes me and puts my name in heaven. There's a promise of me. You talk about an incredible miracle. And Jesus said, all these miracles are great. Rejoice in them, but don't ever lose sight. There's nothing more miraculous than what God does to save and redeem that which was lost. And while I can honestly tell you, I haven't raised the dead or cast out demons or anything like that. I think I've run into a few demons. But I'll tell you what, I think it's the great joy that any of us, the supernatural miracle of that one coming to Christ. Now imagine if we had a blind person who comes down here and we have an invitation and the blind person comes and said, would you pray that I'll receive my sight? We lay hands on and ask the Lord to give them their sight. And they open their eyes and they can see. How many think that'd be exciting? Oh, come on now. Come on. I mean, that might even make Stanley Heights shout. Might. I don't know. How exciting! Or a deaf person coming. Pray that God will give me my hearing. We pray, and all of a sudden that deaf person hears. No need for interpreters anymore. Some of you might pray that God will send hearing aids. That might help too. That might help too. I mean, you think about how exciting that would be. And I'd be excited. We'd all be excited. We should be excited. But I'm telling you, a greater miracle than that is when a little old 8-year-old boy comes to Christ. It's a greater miracle. 20-year-old young man. 65-year-old lady. Miracles. So we have a greater message. And while we are involved in many ways in ministries of compassion and help and so many different ways, my friend, all of it, if we do not tell people how they can have their sins forgiven and become a new creature in Christ, we've missed it. Well, we have, when God's working by the Spirit, we have a greater message. We have a greater ministry. How big is the landmass of the area where Jesus ministered? Think about this. The state of Israel today is about the size of our state of New Jersey. Now, the borders of Israel today are greater than the the regions where Jesus went, with the cities that are identified, Jesus, in his ministry, went not more than ministered an area not more than 60 miles wide, east to west, and not more than 160 miles north to south. On in the scope of the whole world, it's smaller than a postage stamp on your large-sized envelope. That's all he had, ministering and touching the people in that area. His ministry was localized in scope compared to an entire globe. It's such a small amount of land. But when the Holy Spirit indwells all who become his children, Jesus says, wherever you go, I'm there with you and I'm working. And he says, there I am, everywhere you go. And so he redeems one, and the Spirit of God takes residence. And now the Spirit of God enables and transforms that one who takes the message. And God does this with another and another. And the message spreads. And Jesus never came to Tennessee bodily. But how many of you know Jesus has touched Tennessee? And if you want to know a real miracle, he even touched Ohio. And that is a real miracle. Yeah. Do you realize that as God, you are a miracle of God. When you came to Christ, you're a miracle of God. And do you realize that in your life now, given for him, enabled by the Holy Spirit, every person you touch in some way, through you, his message goes far beyond where Jesus went. We have a greater message. We have a greater ministry. And you know there's something else, and that's this. We can do greater miracles. You say, wait a minute, what are you saying? I'm saying the miracle of conversion with Jesus was given in a very limited time of 3 years. But now, look how long it's been, and how many millions more have experienced the supernatural work of the Spirit of God to be born again. And we're all who know him are a testimony to it. Wow, that's great. And you know, this is why God, as he works in us by his Spirit, he enables us to pray and to give, so that as he calls another individual, one of our brothers and sisters in the Lord, and by his grace we give sacrificially, and I believe we all ought to give sacrificially by his grace through faith, then what God does is he takes that one and he then enables them and sends them to another place. Do you realize that in your giving and your praying and your willingness to give yourself to the Lord by faith, do you realize that your impact far outreaches the direct impact of even the 12 or the disciples? How many of you know that's really great? That's great! And you're part of the greater works of the Holy Spirit as you live in the Spirit and submit to the Holy Spirit. And it goes beyond what we could imagine. Well, what's new? The work of the Spirit brings new possibilities. The work of the Spirit brings new promise. Well, how do these greater works take place? Well, I'm going to have you notice with me what Jesus says in John chapter 14, verse 12. John chapter 14, verse 12. We read already, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth in me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. Now verse 13, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. So you'll notice verse 13, Jesus said, that will I do. Verse 14, Jesus said, I will do it. Hear about the preacher who said, I am building a great work for God. And I say, wait. Who's doing it? Is you? Is it you or is it God? And I say, Jesus builds by his power through his Spirit. And really, the whole point to those disciples in that generation, for we as his disciples in this generation, is our need for supernatural power. You and I could never be converted. No person could be converted to Jesus Christ and be born of the Spirit unless there's a supernatural work. And I tried last week as passionately as I could to plead with those that are lost to come to Christ and be born again of the Spirit. But it's a supernatural work that God has to do. And oh, listen, I want you to know that I want you to know that that only God the Spirit can change a person. We need his incredible power to be changed by Christ through the work of the Holy Spirit and helped by Christ day by day as he is changing my life and helping me in the encounters of the day, in the challenges of my day, in the challenges of my life, in the burdens that we all carry. So I tell you how desperately we need supernatural power. So what's new? What is it that's new that's taking place in your life that is evidence that there is a supernatural work that God is helping me and working in my life? What's new? So when God the Spirit works, there's new possibilities. Aren't you excited? That's exciting to me. When God the Spirit is at work, there is a new promise, there is new power. And when God the Spirit is at work, God the Spirit brings new priorities. And Jesus tells us about three priorities, God's new priorities, as these men would now experience a significant change in their life. Jesus going. And now they had to learn what it would be to live in dependence on the Holy Spirit. And it changed their lives. And you'll find when God the Spirit is doing a work, it will change your life in the same way. Here's the first one. The first priority that changes is there is a submissive prayer in the will of God. The new priority is submissive prayer in the will of God. So we read again what Jesus said, verse 13, whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. See, prior to this, if they had a question, Jesus. And they did. You read the scriptures. How many times the disciples asked Jesus questions? Lord, we don't get it. What about this? Lord, would you help us here? They could ask him directly, but he's gone. Now, what do I do if I want to ask him for something? If I need insight, if I need his help, I don't get it. You pray. Now, let me ask you this. I want you to think about this. What would happen if this church really made prayer a priority? I mean, really. And we really strive to keep balanced in prayer because prayer always gets pushed out. Let me ask you, if we really made this a priority, would you come to prayer meeting? I'm glad you come to preaching meetings. We believe in preaching, in the power of the preached word. But let me ask you this. Would you really come to your prayer meeting? Really? It's not as entertaining. I can't have my kids in prayer meeting. They got other stuff to do. And I realize there's balance, but I want you to think about this. And in your own life, how important is prayer? Would you be willing to rearrange your life so you could have planned fellowship with God? And in your life, is this a normal way that you live? And God, I need insight because I'm working on this particular thing and I'm not sure. God, I want to know your joy and your power, and I need your spirit to help me. Is this how you normally live? You know, one of my real concerns, what if we said we're going to really pray? And I wonder how many people would say, thanks, but no thanks. I've got other things to do. But a work of the Spirit of God, when the Spirit is working, prayer becomes a priority. And there are things about prayer I'd be the first to tell you I don't fully understand. There are mysteries of prayer that I don't understand. The interaction of the eternal, omnipotent, sovereign God working in time with individuals who have free agency, for to will is present with me, we're learning. I don't understand how that works. But I do know this. Jesus said, when the Spirit comes and He's working, you pray. Well, there's something else that's a new priority. The next new priority, you read about it in verse 15, where Jesus says, if ye love me, keep my commandments. The next priority is loving obedience to the word of God. Hey, let me ask you this. Think about this. Can I love him without obeying him? Can I ask that again? Can I love him without obeying him? And boy, how many of you know, for us as Southerners, it's a Southern thing. I mean, Jesus is just sort of a Southern thing. And the country music, twang, twang. I love Jesus. I was in the bar Saturday night, but I love Jesus. Yeah, it's just sort of a Southern thing. And I understand those, bless their hearts, those Yankees, they don't understand. It's a Southern thing. I understand it. But let me ask you this. Do I really love him if I don't obey him? See, that becomes a new priority when the Spirit of God is working. See, when the Spirit of God is working, all those things that were so important, they still maybe need done. They have a place. I'm not going to make that determination. That's between you and the Holy Spirit of God. But I'm telling you, when the Spirit of God is working, your passion becomes obeying him. And then Jesus says something else. It's another priority, and that is practicing the presence of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus says in verse 16, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. The word another is a word that means another one just like me. And Jesus is expressing the deity of the Holy Spirit. And then he keeps going, and Jesus says this, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. You see, there's a conscientious awareness and dependence on the Holy Spirit. Man, Lord, I need all the grace, all the power you have, because I am dealing with a very difficult person in a very difficult situation. God, I need all the grace because I am the difficult person in the difficult situation. Maybe you're already praying for that person. God, I need you to help me today because of decisions that have to be made and problems that are ahead. And God, I need your help because I'm dealing with temptation and I want to know your enabling power. I know you have the power to make me free. And so God, this is how people who live with the work of the Holy Spirit live. A conscientious awareness of dependence on the Holy Spirit. So what's new? Well, only God knows what he's doing in you and what he has in store for you. But let me ask you this. When God is working, do you see any new possibilities when God the Spirit is working? Do you need your vision lifted? Hey, God can do something. How about new promises? You see, God is not through doing great works, and there is then new power. You can't do it on your own. Now there must be then new priorities. And what has to change for you to do and be involved in the great works that God is doing by His Spirit? Would you stand with me, please? Bowing our heads as we go to the Lord in prayer. So, God, how we need you to, in a fresh way, move on our behalf. For some in this congregation, you are preparing them today to be born again and to be born of the Spirit by trusting in Jesus and letting Him forgive and cleanse and give them a new life. For that one, that two, that three, whatever their age, whatever their station, Lord, may today be the day. Oh, how we need you to do this work. For those in our congregation who greatly desire and need and are aware and they're pleading with you to do something new and fresh, they've come today desirous because you've been working in them. We pray, oh God, that you would lift our vision, bring us to the end of ourselves, and transform us in some way. So whatever you want to do, Lord God, we pray that you would even work on our behalf. For we ask it in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The